Okay, let's get started. We started Siv Gimel yesterday. We'll continue right from where we... So Siv Gimel taught us Cholim v'shamshim p'turim in Asuka, that Cholim and the Meshamshim, the carers, are exempt from Sukkah. So we discussed that yesterday a little bit. V'loi Cholim sheish b'zakon. It's not only talking about somebody who is dangerously ill. We're talking about the Cholim. It's not just somebody who's dangerously ill. That goes without saying. A Cholim sheish b'zakon, that goes without saying that is exempt. Ella, rather what he's talking about, afilu chash b'roishoy, or chash b'einov. Somebody's got a headache, or chash b'einov, or somebody's got an eye pain. He's suffering from eye pain. So it's not just the same threshold. It's a different threshold. Why so? Why is it that? Why is that threshold different? Why is it that when it comes to Sukkah, even somebody who is slightly in pain is exempt? Why? Absolutely, because when it comes to Hilchas Sukkah, to the mitzvah of Shiva Sukkah, there's a rule of Teshuva Kein Todu. And just like, and the mitzvah is only fulfilled if you feel comfortable, like you feel at home, like a normal, a mitzvah is exempt. And a mitzvah is somebody who is, anybody who is in pain, who is not comfortable, who is in pain, is exempt from the Sukkah. Therefore, somebody who is generally not feeling great, but he's certainly not in Sakona, but he's not feeling great, he's exempt from Yeshiva Sukkah. He's mitzvah. So just like as Mishtabur says in Sivkotten test, Beroishoy Chash Beinu, it's only Mishtabur Yeshiva Sukkah Koshalov. It's difficult for him. It's not comfortable for him to sit in the Sukkah. He's therefore exempt. There is an element of a Chiddush here. What's the Chiddush? There's an element of a chiddush here, that this is called a mitzvah. It's a bit of a chiddush here. I mean, we're used to it, and we're familiar with it, but it's a little bit of a chiddush. This is a little bit different than a mitzvah that we've met previously. Exactly. Generally, what we have learned is that a mitzvah is somebody that is in pain by sitting in the sukkah when it's raining. He is this. He's not. The sukkah causing him the discomfort. So therefore, we learn that somebody's mitzvah like this, he's exempt from the mitzvah, and he can go home. Now we're learning something slightly different. We're learning that he is not particular. He's not extremely unwell because of the sukkah. He's got a headache. He's not well, and he's mitzvah. But it's not. It's maybe worse. And we're going to see soon about that because of the sukkah, but it's not the sukkah intrinsically which caused it. Let's see a bit more about this. Talking again back about the mitzvah, the meshamshim, the carers. I think you had quite oh yes, on the meshamshim. So he said the carers, it's only never mind the aspect which we discussed yesterday, which of course is true, that there's a distinction whether he's paid or not paid. Never mind that. There's also a difference as to whether the choyle actually needs him or not. So if it's just there to schmooze and he doesn't actually need it, then there will be no exemption. So the choyle, who has got the meshamash, the carer, that the carer is exempt from sukkah, yes, there is an exemption there. At times the carer is part of the sukkah, but that's only if he needs him. So say that it's physically helping him, or even emotionally, but the point is that he needs the carer. If the carer is needed, that's when the carer is exempt from sukkah. If the carer is not really needed at this point, then go quickly. You know, you can 20 minutes, he'll be fine, half an hour, and I will be fine without the carer. So the carer should get up, go to the sukkah, wash there, and eat there, and go back home, and go back to the choyle. So the exemption of the carer is only if he's really needed. Then the final lochin tziv gimel is amish make his dam chai besukkah. Somebody is doing the bloodletting medical, which was a medical procedure, which was very common, bloodletting. Someone is bloodletting, is just let go a lot of blood. He's nevertheless chai for sukkah. That's not enough an exemption. I believe people didn't feel particularly unwell, I think, after bloodletting. I don't know if anybody's got experience. It's probably comparable a little bit to yeah. So has anybody done?
After one hour,
right. So therefore, a person wouldn't be feeling particularly sick or unwell, and therefore, the loch we're learning now is that he is chayv besukkah. Okay, Siv Dalet. Now, this is an interesting one, which we need to look at very, very closely. Mitztaya potur min asukah. So, mitztaya, we learned, is exempt from the mitzvah sukkah. Hu v'loi meshamshov. Of course, the mitztaya himself is exempt. However, the meshamshim, the carers of the mitztaya, are obligated in sukkah. So, for instance, somebody's got, what's a mitztaya? Somebody who is, what's a mitztaya? An example? He's got
stomachache.
Headache, whatever, he's mitztaya, he's not well. So, in such an instance, he is exempt. However, if somebody's looking after him, that carer, of course, is chayav besukkah, because that's not the threshold that the carer would be exempt. Avul belayda rishon afilu mitztaya chayav leechol sham kezayis, that we've discussed previously in Siman Tov Resh Lamed Tes, that with regards to the first night, even a mitztaya, we learned that what? Chayev. That mitztaya is chayev besukkah on the first night. We discussed this as an issue with regards to the bracha, but in principle, the ptur of mitztaya doesn't apply on the first night. Ezu mitztaya. Now let's see. What is the threshold of mitztaya? What's a mitztaya? Zeh she'en yochol lishon besukkah. Someone is unable to sleep in the sukkah mipnei haruach, because of the wind. Or mipnei hazvuvim. Or because of the zvuvim haparushim, the insects, the flies that are bothering him. The wind, insects, v'chilei tzvavim, and similar. Or because of a smell. It's just very uncomfortable. Either the wind is blowing very strong, he can't sleep. Or there's insects all over the place, he can't sleep. Flies. Or there is a strong smell, he's exempt. However, Rabbi Yisai, 2 points must be emphasized. The first one is going to be the Bialoch over here. The Bialoch tells us, when you're talking about ruach, when you're talking about wind, it's not so straightforward to just exempt him. Why? Based on something we learned previously. Why is windy, chilly, exempt? Mitztaya. Doesn't go like that. Why? There's a bit of a disclaimer which must be emphasized. Bi'olach reminds us. Because if you can get warmer in the sukkah, then you should do that. If you can't get comfortable in the sukkah, then you should, by all means, you try to sort the sukkah out in a situation you're going to be warmer. So if you can get a scarf, and you can get a bit warmer, then you should do that. But if you're unable to, it's too much of a tich, or it's impossible, or the logistics are impractical, then the exemption will apply. But again, the point is that if a person has the ways and the means to make the sukkah more comfortable and warmer, he must do so. Second disclaimer is what Shulchan Aruch tells us over here. It's the last word of the page. V'dafka. And this is only. Shebo lo yatza b'mikre, acha she'osa sham asuka. The fact that he's exempt, top of page 214, is only if it, by coincidence as it were, the discomfort happened after he has post factum, after he has created the sukkah. Avol, but, en alas as a sukkosoi, you may not build your sukkah, lechatchila, in the first place, b'mokam in a place, hareach, where it smells, or yaruach, where it's very windy, v'loy marantzeh mitztaya on yam mitztaya. So, the Shulchan Aruch's words are very, very important. Shulchan Aruch is telling us, of course there's a rule of mitztaya. Of course. Very windy, you're exempt. Very cold, you're exempt. It smells, you're exempt. Fair enough. However, what were you thinking? When you built that sukkah, right next to the block drain. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? When you built that sukkah on top of the, what's the highest building in London? I don't know. When you built that sukkah on top of the shard, yeah? You knew it's going to be pretty windy. Like, what were you thinking? When you built that sukkah in a place where you know that there's going to be smell, or when you built that sukkah in the forest, and right next to an ant thing, you know, and there's a beehive over there, and there's a fly thing over there, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And now you say, oh, I'm in style, I'm not comfortable. So no, Shulchan Aruch has something crucially important. I'm reading the words again. V'dafke b'shebolo yatzar. The exemption of mitztaya is only if the tzar, the discomfort, comes b'mikre, as it happens, b'mikre ach she'osa samasuka. The mitztaya aspect, the tzar, comes up or how should we say, it emerges after, post factum, after I built the sukkah there. Avol batein lo las sukkah, so don't make the sukkah lechatchila in the first place, b'mokim in our place, hareach where it smells, ruach where it is windy, v'loy marad en soli se mitztayrani. You've got to be a bit more,
forward thinking,
that's the word. So it's a very important rule, because at times you'll have people, I saw into sukkah, and it was out in the it was right next to tackle the wastewater not of that building, but a few buildings were, and it smelled, it just simply smelled there. It smelled there, and then they said it smells of here, you know. So the mitzias is that it's not so posher to say mitzayah. What are you going to do about bracha? It's another question. What are you going to do now? Is it a difficult one, because you can't make a bracha when it smells? But to say mitzayah, you can't say mitzayah in such an instance. What were you thinking? Why were you building the? Why did you build the sukkah there? Continues the Ramah. What if you build the sukkah in a place that you feel discomfort with regards to eating, or with regards to drinking, or you just feel uncomfortable there because of the place you built the sukkah? Or you cannot do one of those mitzvahs, part of the mitzvahs in the sukkah, machmas, because what about if you are scared of robbers, or ganovim, or you are scared of thieves, kshub sakonan, in danger? Any yotze, but oisa sukkah kal, you're not yotze in the sukkah at all. Afilu b'dvorim shloim mitzta'an lahem. Even for aspects of the sukkah, even for parts of the mitzvah that you do, you're not discomfort, you feel comfortable. To lehave ke'endir o'shiruch la'as ha'shom kol tzochav. The Ramah is telling us, if you build a sukkah that you don't feel comfortable there to eat, if you build a sukkah in a place that you don't feel comfortable sleeping there, if you build a sukkah in a place that you cannot fulfill parts of the sukkah, well, never mind that you can't do that part of the mitzvah. In fact, you cannot do, you're not making the mitzvah at all, says the Ramah. Because you built, based on what we just said now, you built the sukkah in a place that you cannot fulfill part of the mitzvah, sukkah is possible.
Isn't the Ramah being so to himself?
Why?
About what is, he holds the Gabi Shena in Okonis HaKorim. Because there he says, you know, he defends the fact that people don't sleep there because it's cold. But they're building in a cold. I mean, they might not have any choice about the matter, that's.
Right,
So if it's not really to sleep in, your point is a valid point.
I heard him speak about this. So the question the question is as follows: that what are we going to answer? The Ramah said that there is a limud chos, the justification not sleeping in the sukkah because it's cold. So the question is, well, if it's too cold to sleep in the sukkah, so how can you fulfill all the aspects of the mitzvah in the sukkah, based on what we're seeing now? We just learned now, if there's one part of the sukkah which you cannot fulfill, then any part of the mitzvah, then the sukkah is...
Well, I don't know, I mean, cold is something you can do something about.
Right.
Heating, extra clothes on. But it's just a foul smell. It's not, I mean, what can you do, really?
Unless it gets cold at night, it's not cold the whole time. So that is a point that's mentioned. But I think that the overall point is also that it's only the provider you can do something about this, right? So if you're learning that the Ramah says that you can be leaning on sleeping in the sukkah because of the cold. It's because the Ramah says it's the opposite of what you were saying. That here, if you built a sukkah in a place that smells, in a place that is insects, etc., why do you put the sukkah over there? Do it somewhere else. And that's where the sukkah is possible. However, it comes to cold, the Ramah's approach is going to be, well, you can't move that. You know, Torah is not mechayev to move to tropical island. Now Perhaps a bit of a. I don't know if it's a polite question to ask, but the Rav Eliashiv was asked as follows: what happens if you have got guests who came to you for a meal, and they are schlepping on and on and on? Have you ever experienced that? Mm-hmm. They don't want to go. They're schlepping on and on and on and on, and you benched like 2 hours ago, and they're still over here. Mm-hmm. And they are just still, you know, talking about this and about that and about this going on. Now, the question is as follows. Rav Eliashiv was asked, you are, at this point, you are mitztayer. Rav Eliashiv said, you're mitztayer. You just want to rest a little bit. You want to, you know, you want to just rest and, you know, just rest a little bit. Just like we saw that, what?
That's an English
style. So you're mitztayer now. So would you argue that just like when I'm mitztayer and potter from sukkah, when there's flies, when there's insects, when there's a smell, when there's discomfort, well, now I'm also in a situation of discomfort. Not that they are like flies, not to say cholle, they are but they're causing me discomfort now. I want to go to sleep. I want to rest. And they're holding me back. Can you therefore say I'm sufficient of a mitztayer that cannot sleep in the sukkah and perhaps, yeah, eat, I'm not sure, but let's just talk about sleeping for now. And therefore, escape into somewhere else. No. Why not? It's true, that's what Elab just said, they can't do that.
You've got to be, again, it's a bit like building sukkah in the wrong place and then complaining that you can't, it's not inhabited.
You caused it yourself. Do your research before you write them. That's the aside. Do your research.
I've often had to admit, my wife sometimes invites friends, and I've often had to say, I'm going to sleep now.
yeah, that's the way to do it. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, feel free to stay, but feel free. Yeah. So that's just that. Certainly that's not considered considered a and some are quoting Shlomo Zalman that held it. He was a mitzvah, but I think the pashtus is that I totally agree with your approach. Yeah. They'll get the message very quickly. Yeah, okay, but the point of the Shulchan Aruch over here and the point of the Amor is that if a person builds the sukkah in a place where he cannot fulfill the mitzvah properly, there is a question as to where the other parts of the mitzvah. Now the Gemara continues. Gemara says, I'm in the fourth line. What happens if the candles get extinguished in the sukkah on Shabbos and he's got light in the house, but the sukkah is pitch dark? This happens. Pitch dark sukkah in the house, it's okay. And you want to eat the sukkah? Are you not sleeping? Eating? You want to eat in the sukkah, but it's pitch dark. Do you have to eat in the sukkah, or can you go inside? Shabbos.
How are you
going Says the Ramah, Mutalotzes min ha-sukkah kide lechol b'mokem ne'er. You're not obligated to eat in pitch dark sukkah. You can go inside. Ve'en tzorech leilich le'sukkas chaveiro she'esham ne'er. Don't say, hey, go to your neighbor. He's got candles, his very friendly neighbors. You can eat there. Chiddush number two. Imej ha-torech kodol v'adob. If it's not comfortable for you to eat in shnos by somebody else, you're not obligated to do that. Rabbi said two chiddushim in these two lines of the Gemara. Chiddush number one, if it's pitch dark, you're exempt. If it's pitch dark, so it gets considered mitztayer. But number one, you can't go home if it's pitch dark. Provided what? Provided that you did based on what we just learned before.
You had light. There.
That you sorted yourself out in advance. Don't like, no light. No, oh, what should we do? It's pitch dark. No, that doesn't go. You have got to do your part, and if you're an onus, then it's just pitch dark now, then you are exempt from sukkah. That's chiddush number one, that darkness is considered enough of a mitzta'er. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two is perhaps even a greater chiddush is, why don't you say, go to your friends, go to your next door neighbor. Come on, you're not the only yid in Edgware. There's plenty of nice people here, plenty of generous, kind hospital people. You don't have to now go into the house because of that. The answer is no. No. You, if a person feels uncomfortable because of his shyness, discomfort, he doesn't want to be a schnorrer. The words of the Shulchan Aruch is look, I'm shtibu it's gotten khov base. Wenn tsakh lelach zug es khavay do nami khoshuf tsar. It's also it's very uncomfortable. The ein oy of the adam akhilas le bishloi. The words of the mishtibu is person likes his own food more than somebody else's food. I don't know if it means specifically the food or just also the aspect of could be that the food, you know, she doesn't cook very well. It could be that. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah means in the simple terms. But it may mean more than that as well. That you just don't feel comfortable to be a shnor by somebody else. You don't want to be that. So that also is sufficient of a mitzvah that you exempt and you can eat now the meal at home.
You might be causing the other family
discomfort.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Suddenly it's like eight of you coming along. Oh, can we just sort of squeeze in?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, can we? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it's probably a cheshbon as well. Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah, so of course, on the first night, the Mishnah points out, first night, there's no ptur of mitzvah, as we discussed now a number of times. First night, there's no exemption of mitzvah. You've got to do it. No two ways about it. You've got to do it. No mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. There's no exemption of mitzvah, so you've got to do it. But all the other nights, or first night and second night, all the other meals, Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, that the most teaching us over here, point number one, darkness is considered mitzvah. Point number two, you do not have to knock onto your neighbor to eat there, and you're sufficient of mitzvah, it's considered mitzvah, and you could eat at home. Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, I had this once, actually, to be honest. I had this once. The light went off. I had some Shabbos clock things, and I felt that it, you know, if it's a bit of light, whatever you.
No, I'm wondering about Mira Lakum.
Ah, yeah. There is. So, of course, it's a shvus to Baka Mitzvah. You'd be allowed to ask a guy. Yeah.
Even though here it's not Mamash Mitzvah because I'm Potter.
Yeah, I know, but it's still considered Mokka Mitzvah. It's still considered Mokka Mitzvah. Yeah, good question. Yeah, it is enough for Mitzvah.
First night, would you go to someone else's house?
Which instance? If it's pitch
dark?
Yeah, I think I'd probably rather eat at home, personally. But
it's first night circus.
Yeah, but the point is that there is no Heter Mitzvah. The point is you have to eat in a sukkah. So you can either go to your neighbor or you can stay at home, either way. But you have to eat in the sukkah. There's no ptur of mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisrael, to summarize, we learned this evening. So we learned that, first of all, we learned that the threshold of mitzvah is different when it comes to sukkah and to other mitzvahs. Of course, somebody who doesn't want to do mitzvah, somebody who's got choyle, we're learning over here, mitzvah, somebody's got a headache, eye pain, experiences any discomfort is a mitzvah and is potter. However, that won't exempt a person from putting on tefillin, for instance, or what's another mitzvah? Person is has got a headache, he still has got to daven, right? What? Exactly, yeah. So, but the threshold when it comes to mitzvah sukkah is much, the threshold is much lower, that's right, than for other mitzvahs. Point number one, we learned also that with regards to the carers, a carer that we discussed yesterday that is exempt, that's only if he actually is needed. If he's not needed, he's obviously chayav besukkah. Then we learned about the mitzta'er's carer, he is chayav besukkah. Then we learned that various examples of mitzta'er is flies, insects, smell. We learned annoying guests are not considered the mitzta'er. We learned also that somebody who is built, it's very important that, somebody who built the sukkah in the first instance, where the sukkah is going to be
disturbed,
yeah, that's it. That's not an excuse, and he can't do that. Furthermore, if he did build a sukkah in a place where he cannot fulfill the mitzvah properly, in fact, any aspect of the sukkah are challenging, questionable. So that's not a good idea. Then we learned about the light, that if the sukkah has got no light, is mitzta'er, and to eat by somebody else, that's also called mitzta'er. I want to finish off with a very, very brief halachic story, very interesting story. That the story goes of the Siddi Eish. Siddi Eish was a Weinberg. He was the last Rosh Hashiva and Rav of Rosh Hashiva in Berlin. He went once, he was an outstanding Talmid Chacham, a very Choshva Yid, with Siddi Eish. He lived his last part of his life, he lived in Switzerland. When he was young, he visited Chaim Isaac Grzynski. Abraham, not young, young, I mean, when he was younger, he waited that Abraham was going to Chlamoy Tzukas. And the story goes, he brings the story in his Sefer Siddur Eich. The Avinbeg went to the Chaim Oiza and on Chalamoid, and he went to Sukkot, and they told him Chaim Oiza, the God of Hador, Chaim Oiza, he was ill, he was old, and he's not gonna come down to eat in the Sukkah. So Siddur Eich understood, Avinbeg understood, he said, okay, he's not gonna eat here. And he's a mitzvah. And he was there and he ate. A few minutes later, Chaim Oiza came down. And he ate, and he came to the sukkah. So he said, "But Rabbi Chaim Oiza, I understand you're mitztayer. You're part of a sukkah. In fact, if you're part of a sukkah, what did we learn? Somebody's exempt from sukkah, and he's still doing it. He's a hadyet. So as Rabbi Chaim Oiza, you're exempt. You are ill. You are unwell. You don't have. He was never very unwell. You don't have to come to eat in the sukkah. Why are you coming? Why are you coming here to the sukkah to?" So Rabbi Chaim Oiza answered a very, very interesting answer. He said, "It's true. I'm definitely mitztayer, and I'm definitely exempt from sukkah." I am exempt, but you came over here, and I want to give you the honor. I want to be mechabed you. I want to give you that respect that you come in choshev young tamid chacham alav, and I want to give you that respect for that. There is no ptur of mitztayer. That I can't say I'm mitztayer. That's a different mitzvah altogether. To be mechabed, to respect you, to give you that there's no ptur of mitztayer, and therefore I came to give you a good yom tov and wish you and welcome you and give you the respect you do respect. So that's an interesting aspect, the differentiation between the mitztayer of yeshiva sukkah and mitztayer with regards to other mitzvahs. Okay, Rabbi, that's it for this evening. We'll continue mitzvahs tomorrow. This evening. It's interesting halachas, no? Lots of very important halachas. No, because when the answer is, as Shlomo Zalman explains in Shmir Shabbos, that whenever you're doing Amir Lenochi, which is permitted, there is no issue of benefiting. So, for instance, when you're asking a goat to switch off the light or switch on the light in a permitted way, which is permitted, then I know generally when there is an issue, then both issuim apply. So when I'm asking a goat to do something, to switch on to do something which I'm not allowed to do, if there's no heter, then I've done an issa of Amir Lenochi, plus I've got an issa of benefiting from what he's done. I can't benefit from it. So if he's cooking something for me, I'm not allowed to benefit from it. However, if I am allowed this particular way, I'm allowed to ask Amir Lenochi in such an instance, such as double drabonon in a mitzvah situation, or there's a hefsid murbo, etc. When it's permitted, then there's no problem of nano. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If they are, let's say you have got someone mishamisha choyla, and his hours to be mishamisha choyla, whatever, let's say meal time, and by the time he's finished, it's past meal time. He presumably doesn't have to schedule his meal.
L'choyla, it's an interesting question. Do you have to? L'choyla, you don't have to. Interesting question. Because now b'shas ma'is is exempt. Yeah. I think that there would be a strong tzad that I should change his schedule for that day, but you can't send an obligation.
Right,
yeah. Okay, good evening.